A quick note to listeners that from June 9th to June 23rd, there will be no episodes, as I will be away on retreat and unable to record during that time. Sunday, June 8th, Solemnity of Pentecost. The lesson from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. When the days of the Pentecost were accomplished, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a mighty wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as it were of fire, and it sat upon every one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with diverse tongues, according as the Holy Spirit gave them to speak. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded in mind, because that every man heard them speak in his own tongue. And they were all amazed and wondered, saying, Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how have we heard every one of our own tongues wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews also, and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We have heard them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Haydock Commentary. They were all together in one place. The Greek signifies they were all of one mind. The sound they heard perhaps was a kind of thunder, accompanied with a great wind, which filled with terror and awe the whole company, and disposed them to receive the gift of heaven with humility and fervor. This noise appears to have been heard over a great part of the city, and to have gathered together a great crowd who came to learn the cause. This noise and wind were symbols of the divinity. It was thus also that formerly on Mount Sinai, thunder and lightning, the dark cloud, the smoking mountain, marked the majesty of God. Jesus Christ, our Pasch, to answer perfectly the figure, was offered on the day of the great Jewish Passover. So 50 days after, for accomplishing the like figure of the law given on Mount Sinai, he sent down the Holy Ghost on the day of their Pentecost, which meaneth 50. But our feasts, as St. Augustine remarks, besides the remembrance of benefits past, contain great mysteries also of the life to come. The Hebrews use the name tongue for almost anything pointed, a fiery tongue for a flame in the shape of a tongue, Isaiah 5:24. The expression, therefore, in this place may mean nothing more than sparks, or rather flames, which appeared above all who were in the house. By the fiery tongues is signified the efficacy of the apostles' preaching, and the gift of tongues bestowed upon them. Perhaps the apostles spoke only their own tongue, and the miracle consisted in each one's understanding it as if they spoke it in his language. This is the opinion of St. Gregory of Nazianzen. But St. Augustine and most others understand the text literally. Though the apostles had not this gift on all occasions, nor on all subjects, and therefore sometimes stood in need of interpreters. St. Augustine also observes that the conversion of all nations to the Church, and their being united in one faith, all having one language or confession, is a perpetuation of the same miracle in the Church. The Gospel from John chapter 14, verses 23 through 31. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and will make our abode in him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my words. And the word which you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you, abiding with you. But the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring all things to your mind, whatsoever I shall have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth do I give it unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You have heard that I said to you, I go away, and I come unto you. If you loved me, you would indeed be glad, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it shall come to pass, you may believe. I will not now speak many things with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and in me he hath not anything. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father hath given me commandment, so do I. Haydock Commentary. If any man love me, my Father will love him, and we will come to him. That is, the three divine persons will come to his soul in a special manner, so as to bless him with an infusion of graces, and make our abode in his soul. The Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, as proceeding also from me, and therefore Christ saith in the next chapter, that he himself will send him from the Father. He will teach you all things, he will give you a more perfect knowledge of all those truths which I have taught you. Here the Holy Ghost is promised to the apostles and their successors, particularly in order to teach them all truth, and to preserve them from error. The scripture in different places remarks that the apostles did not understand the accomplishment of prophecies as soon as they were fulfilled. See Luke 24:27. They could not draw the comparison between the actions of our Savior and the figures of the old law. But no sooner had the Holy Ghost descended upon them than they explained the scriptures, their hearts and eyes being opened and enlightened by the light of the Holy Spirit. The Father is greater than I. According to the common exposition, Christ here speaks of himself as made man, which interpretation is drawn from the circumstances of the text, Christ being at that time going to suffer and die, and shortly after to rise again and ascend into heaven, all which agree with him as man and according to his human nature. The Arian heretics can take no advantage from these words. The Father may be said in some manner to be greater than the Son if we consider the order of the divine processions, that is, that the Father is the first person and proceeds from no other, whereas the Son proceeds from the Father. If anyone, says St. John Chrysostom, will contend that the Father is greater inasmuch as he is the cause from which the Son proceeds, we will bear with him and this way of speaking, provided he grant that the Son is not of a different substance or nature than the Father. St. Athanasius allows the same, and takes notice that though the Father is said to be greater, yet he is not said to be better nor more excellent than the Son, because they are one and the same in substance, nature, and other perfections. The enemies of the divinity of Christ here triumph and think they have the confession of Christ himself that he is less than the Father. But if they would distinguish the two natures of Christ, their arguments would fall to the ground. Jesus Christ as man and a creature is inferior to his Father, the Creator. But as God, he is in every respect equal to him. Others likewise answer it thus. Following the confused opinion of the world and even of the apostles themselves, who as yet only considered Christ as a prophet and as a man, he was less than the Father. And likewise the title of Father, as we generally use the word, is greater and much more honorable than that of the Son. And in this respect, Christ can be said to be inferior to his Father. But this appellation, though really true, does not destroy the equality of the persons, because Christ has declared in numerous other places that he is equal to the Father, that he is in the Father, and that he and the Father are one. The apostles ought to have rejoiced that Christ was going to the Father, who was superior to him, considering him in his human nature, because then would the Son show forth his honor and glory to be equal to the Father's in heaven. This would have been a mark of pure, solid, and disinterested love, which ought to have inspired the apostles.